Welcome to DollarCollapse.com with John Rubino, your ringside seat for the global financial crisis.
Hi, everybody. It is Monday, January 25th, and the past few days have seen a dead cat bounce in most of the major markets. Oil's been up, stocks have recovered a bit on short covering, and for a little while there, things look basically okay again. But this morning, everything went back to the new normal. Oil's down 5%, stocks are down fairly hard in the U.S., gold and silver are up, meaning that it's basically risk off again. And while the markets were turning back down, a couple of economic reports came out that really reinforced the cautious tone of the financial markets. First, the Philly Fed Manufacturing Index hit a three-year low, meaning that factories are producing less in that region and are likely to continue to produce less going forward. The Dallas Fed manufacturing report, meanwhile, is collapsing, as one headline put it, and which isn't a surprise because the Texas economy is dependent on oil, and oil is down from $110 a barrel to $30 a barrel in the past 2 years, which means the revenues flowing into the state have plunged. So it's playing out in manufacturing there and in real estate and in basically every other part of the Texas economy. Now, manufacturing might not seem that important in a world dominated by Apple and Google, but it actually is very important because it generates still the bulk of corporate profits in the U.S. So as manufacturing goes, so goes the rest of the economy. Now, even the rich are beginning to feel the pain. There was an article in the New York Times last week about how London real estate, which has been arguably the hottest single asset class in the world over the past 5 years, is starting to tank now. There are air pockets under trophy property prices in a lot of hot London neighborhoods. And the reason for that is that Russian and Chinese buying has dried up as their own countries descend into turmoil and the rich there begin to worry about their own backyards rather than spreading their money around the world. And bankers, who are also big buyers of hot London real estate, are being laid off. So the thought process of the average member of the 1% is now that, well, okay, my stocks are down and this real estate that I counted on to hold its value forever is now down big. There are big drops being reported in the neighborhood in which I own my penthouse. And since the buyers of high-end real estate are also the same people who buy fine art, then I'll bet the paintings on my wall are going to go down in value too. Therefore, it might be time to pull back and get conservative. At the most recent Davos Economic Forum, one of the dominant themes was that it's time for billionaires to stop playing the game. In other words, to pull back and stop trying to buy assets on the assumption that those assets are going to go up, and to go mostly to cash. And that's a huge sea change in the financial markets because the 1% are basically the only group of people left who have a lot of free cash and who own a lot of assets. So for them to get conservative means that the bid is going to be pulled out from under a wide range of financial and real asset classes. Obviously, you're going to see a lot fewer yachts be sold in the year ahead and private planes, but also fine art prices are going to drop, and real estate prices will be hit beginning with the really high-end stuff and then moving down into the mid-range. A $1 million New York City condo on Fifth Avenue or whatever is suddenly going to be harder to sell than it has been for the past 5 or 6 years. So that's going to reverberate downward through the economy. So we have something like a trickle-down crisis heading our way in the year ahead. Now, normally, financial crises lead to political turmoil, and we're also seeing that. In recent polls, we're seeing Ted Cruz catch up to Donald Trump and cause the insiders in the Republican Party to really start questioning their premises. Up to now, they believed that Trump was an aberration, somebody who would have his day in the sun and then be tossed aside as the market decided to go back to a mainstream candidate like Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio. That hasn't happened. Trump's numbers have stayed high. And now Ted Cruz is emerging as his main challenger. And to Republican insiders, Ted Cruz is actually a worse prospect than Donald Trump. He's an authoritarian, fundamentalist Christian who is, according to most news reports, the most hated man in the Senate because he doesn't play ball with the Senate leadership. He basically goes his own way and is willing to throw a wrench in the legislative machinery in order to make his points. They hate him for that. And so now the Republican insiders are starting to come around to the idea of President Trump. He's no longer the worst case scenario. And so now it's looking like Trump is actually the likely nominee in the fall. What this means is that the economic mismanagement of the past three decades is now manifesting as political turmoil. In other words, voters have gotten so fed up with the terrible job that the guys in charge have done in running the economy, that they are willing to basically tear the political system out by the roots and start over. And that plays into the hands of fringe candidates like Ted Cruz. Now, meanwhile, on the Democrat side, you've got something very similar going on, where Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist, although an honest guy who says what he thinks and has to be admired as far as that goes, is actually ahead of Hillary Clinton in the two first primary states, Iowa and New Hampshire. And let him win those two states, and he's going to go into the rest of the primaries with some very serious momentum. So it's now at least conceivable that we'll have a presidential race between Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist, and Donald Trump, a complete novice in national politics. And one of those guys is going to end up being president. What that means is that the political system is now starting to spin out of control. And this matches up nicely with what's going on in the rest of the world. You know, you've got National Front, which in the very recent past was considered neo-fascist by a lot of French and was a very much fringe party, is now the leading vote getter in French elections. And Marine Le Pen, the leader of the party, has a very real shot at winning the next presidential election. And if she loses, it'll be because the socialists and the conservatives, the two major parties until recently in France, get together and field a common set of candidates, which is also completely unsustainable. You know, those guys don't get along in terms of personality or goals for the country. So they together as a coalition government would be very temporary in any event. And Spain, meanwhile, just put into power a coalition between the socialists and parties that are to the left of the socialists. So we've got a very left-wing government taking power in Spain. Something similar just happened in Portugal. So this is all part of one process where voters no longer trust government. Now, what happens to the economy when trust in government drops to nearly zero and fringe parties and untested candidates start getting elected? Well, usually chaos. We're going to see almost a random set of policies be put into place here, you know, some from the far right, some from the far left. And we're going to find out why a lot of those policies are traditionally considered fringe policies, because they're very hard to put into place and they come with a lot of unintended consequences. And in general, they don't work. Well, we're going to see that stuff be tried here in the not too distant future. And that's going to lead to a complete loss in faith in, for instance, government bonds. Because who wants to lend money to a government that's basically throwing anything it can think of up against the wall to see what sticks, you know, trying experiment after experiment with no real sense of what's going to work and what won't work. So we will see a cratering of faith in government and therefore a total lack of faith in government financial instruments. Government bonds are at some point in the not too distant future going to enter a bear market. And they're going to be among the worst things to own going forward. So the financial world is going to be turned on its head. What used to be considered very safe is going to become extremely risky, and maybe vice versa. So we'll see a flight to the safest possible assets as they're defined in this new environment, which I think is going to be, to an extent, gold and silver. You know, really well-chosen real estate in beaten-down markets will also do well because governments can't make more of it. But traditionally, precious metals turn out to be the thing that capital flows into when the currencies of national governments are being devalued aggressively, which is going to end up being the policies that these guys finally fixate on when nothing else works. You know, higher taxes and higher government spending and more capital controls, that's not going to work. Really aggressive quantitative easing programs, that's not going to work. It obviously hasn't, so it won't in the future. What they'll end up doing is devaluing their currencies across the board in a coordinated way against gold and silver. This is a scenario that's pulled directly out of Jim Rickard's books, which I recommend that listeners check out, because so far, his currency war scenario is playing out as he sketches it out in those books. So if it continues, we see rising turmoil leading to a series of global crises, which in turn leads to a globally coordinated currency devaluation and a return to something resembling the old classical gold standard. That's a really hard path to get to a good place. So it requires a lot of thought and, frankly, a lot of guts on the part of people trying to organize their financial lives in a way that protects their families and takes advantage of what's coming. So lots of interesting stuff to talk about going forward, but that's all for this week. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Dollar Collapse. For regular info and updates throughout the day, go to dollarcollapse.com.